Well, today we have the passage from St. Luke, beginning with chapter 4, about the Lord going back to Nazareth. It says where he had grown up. We know that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, and then after the flight into Egypt, St. Joseph settled the Holy Family in Nazareth. So the Lord was raised in Nazareth. He had grown up there. He had gone to the synagogue every Saturday for years, perhaps 20 or 30 years, he had gone to this particular synagogue. And it says he went, as was his custom, to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, the synagogue ceremony would always begin with the reading of the Shema, which is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind." And then there would always be a reading from the Torah, the Pentateuch, a reading from the first five books of the Bible. Then there would be the reading of the 18 blessings, and then a reading from one of the prophets, and then a sermon was given by the local rabbi or by a visiting dignitary or a visiting preacher. And then there was a priestly blessing, and then everyone responded, "Amen," and that was the end of the service. But on this particular day, our Lord is attending the synagogue on the Sabbath, and see, he had just been to Capernaum. He had just cured the official son. The word about his miracles were spreading, and so they gave him a scroll to read the passage that he would choose. And in divine providence and God's plan, he was given the scroll of Isaiah the prophet. These scrolls were written on both sides. They had no chapter and verses in those days, but the Lord was able to unroll the scroll, and he found the passage from what we now know as Isaiah chapter 61 about the Messiah, about the Anointed One. And the Lord reads this passage, which was all about the coming of the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for thousands of years. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, a recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." This year would be a jubilee year. Jubilee years were every 50 years. It was a time of forgiving people their debts and their sins, freeing prisoners, and restoring people's property to them. It was a year of great rejoicing and forgiveness. And so the Lord came to bring glad tidings to the poor. Jesus himself would be the Anointed One. As the Catechism of Pius X says, Jesus was anointed at the moment of his incarnation, at the hypostatic union, when God became man and dwelt among us, when the Word became flesh. That's when Christ was anointed. It was publicly proclaimed at the baptism of the Lord, when the Lord came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit descended on Christ. That was a public anointing. And so Jesus is that long-awaited Messiah who has come to set us free from the slavery of sin, from the prison of sin. He has come to bring glad tidings to the poor and to cure our spiritual blindness and to enable us to be free in Christ. And so the Lord rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the altar boy, and then said to everyone, probably the most shocking words that the Lord would say, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Imagine having waited 2,000 years, and now Jesus says, "Here am I. I am the Anointed One. I am the Messiah. And this scripture passage is now fulfilled." And it says at first people were amazed at his beautiful, gracious words. But then they began to be shocked and say, "Well, how can this be? He's been coming to this synagogue every Saturday for years and years and years. And yet now he's saying that he is the long-awaited Messiah. We know his family. We know his parents." And so, of course, the Lord knew what they were saying. And he said to them, "I'm sure you want me to do in other places like Capernaum, and to do miracles here." But he said, And then he quoted two passages from the Old Testament where God does not send the prophet to work a miracle for the Jewish people, but for the Gentiles, to show that salvation was not only offered to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And when the Jews rejected that gift, then it was accepted by the Gentiles. And he quotes the 1 Kings chapter 2 and 1 Kings chapter 1, the book of Kings. And one is about Elijah, who was sent to the widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. She was a foreigner, and yet she believed that the jar of oil would not run empty or the wheat would not disappear. And she baked this bread for Elijah. And because of that, she survived and she lived with her son a whole other year. And she was an example of God's salvation being offered to those that were not Jewish, those that were Gentiles. And he even said that there were many widows from Israel, but none of them were given this gift except this foreigner. And then lastly, there were many lepers in the time of Elisha the prophet, but none of the Israelite lepers were cured, only Naaman the Syrian, again a foreigner, to show that if his own people did not accept him, the people of Nazareth, then of course salvation is offered to others as well. And if they respond generously, like the official in Capernaum or someone else, the Lord is saying that no prophet is honored, especially in their own native place. And yet they are honored elsewhere, just as the widow of Zarephath or Naaman the Syrian were cured, even though they were not of the Jewish faith. They were open to God's grace. They believed, they had faith, and they were cured. Well, of course, this upset the people so much. It says they were filled with fury. How dare the Lord, tell them that if they don't accept his message and him, that he would offer it to the Gentiles as well. So they rose up, drove him out of the town to the brow of the hill upon which the town is built. And if you've been to Nazareth, on the trips that I made to Nazareth, they take us to the very spot, to the cliff upon which the city is built, and they show you the place where they would have thrown the Lord over the cliff. And yet the Lord passed through them and majestically walked away, because it was not his time, it was not his hour. So again, we have this very powerful passage of the Lord telling his own home people, his own friends that he was raised with, that he is the Messiah. But he had been so familiar to them that they could not accept the fact that he truly was who he claimed to be. And then when the Lord reminded them that if they did not accept him, then salvation would be offered to the foreigners and to the Gentiles and even to the pagans, that he would offer his salvation to them, they were so upset that they wanted him killed. But of course, it was not yet the Lord's time to give his life for our salvation.